Cindy Curtis, I understand that T2 is coming out on video or DVD or streaming or whatever it is the young people are using nowadays. The Trainspotting 2, the sequel to the great Danny Boyle movie. Mm. Let's talk about it.
Known to some as the pride of Arden Hills, Minnesota, and the late denizen of Edinburgh, Scotland, they are Cube critics Stephanie Curtis and Ewan Kerr.
You were not a great fan of Trainspotting.
I was not a great fan of Trainspotting. And this was at a time when I'm pretty much a huge moviegoer still. But in 1996, when it came out, I was not into it. I did not get it. I was not into the story, the characters, the style. And I had liked other Danny Boyle films.
Yeah.
So I was really excited about it. And it did nothing for me. I felt unclean afterwards, and that was about it.
Yes.
Why do you love this one so much?
There's a bias, of course.
Yes.
It's set in Edinburgh, where I grew up.
Not British.
Yeah.
And you are.
Well, I mean, it's a particularly Scottish movie, I think. And it was based on Irvine Welsh's book, which is just, it is a masterpiece. It captures a moment in time when there was a horrible heroin problem in Edinburgh, which brought hard on its heels a terrible HIV epidemic. And it was a very, very dark time in the city. However, it was also a movie that is, or the novel is very funny. It's wickedly funny, if you can understand it, because, of course, it's written in vernacular.
I wonder how much went over my head and I didn't understand it because of the vernacular and the accents and
everything. There is always that question, although, you know, I remember at the time talking to people about it, and if you just read it aloud for a few pages, you tended to kind of capture the rhythm and the words, and there's a few words you had to work out, but it wasn't that bad. Mm-hmm. So along comes the movie, and the movie was very well put together, in part because they actually dumped, I think, about half the novel. I mean, they really cleaned it out. Apparently, they spent a lot of time going through the novel and working out what scenes just wouldn't be any good on screen.
Yeah.
And they trimmed it down, and then they brought in this incredible soundtrack. Apparently, the soundtrack is still ranked one of the top movie soundtracks ever of a British movie. Actually, and they ended up doing two, I think.
Who's on it?
Oh, there's...
I hate to put you on the spot.
Oh, I've forgotten. But, I mean, well, of course, Iggy Pop, Lust for Life.
Oh, yeah.
And all these bands of the time. It is really listenable, even if I can't remember.
That's all right.
Anyway, so there's this movie. It becomes iconic for some people. I mean, if you walk into my daughter's bedroom, she's actually long gone. She's now living in another city.
She's
but
all grown up.
She has the opening page of Trainspotting written up on the blackboard in her wall. It's been there for years.
Does she?
Yeah. It's the
it's
whole,
in the whole family.
Yeah.
Were you ever worried she's going to become a heroin-addicted partier?
No. She is. She has her head squarely on her shoulders. But there's this...
Or worse. A novelist. Anyway, go on.
Well, worse than that, a journalist. But this movie really resonated with some people. And so immediately people began saying, you know, there has to be a sequel. There has to be a sequel. And then Irvine Welsh brought out the sequel novel, which was called Porno, which is not as good.
Mm-hmm.
It's about the same characters 20 years later. And, of course, not revealing too much, the end of Trainspotting, there is an incredible situation where one of the group of people really cheats. He cons the rest of the group and disappears with all their money.
Mm-hmm.
So this is, the next story is about him coming back. and the relationship between Ranton and the other guys who kind of they're real frenemies. They kind of love and hate, except for, of course, the notorious Begbie, played by Robert Carlyle in the movies, who just hates him and wants to kill him. So there was actually a real challenge in making T2. Danny Boyle said that he wanted to do it. However, he also wanted to wait long enough that the actors had visibly aged. And
so he's waiting for Ewan McGregor to start looking bad.
Yes.
We had to wait a long time for that, friends.
But he then had to add the proviso. Of course, he thought that the vanity of actors would mean that none of them would ever actually come back because they wouldn't want to admit that they had aged. And it took a lot of, I think, arguing behind the scenes, trying to convince the original crew to come back. Mm-hmm. But finally, they worked it out. I think it was also kind of problematic that the porno is about... They're pretty much off heroin. Mm-hmm. However, they decide the way they're going to make money is to make porno films.
So I guessed.
And so that might be kind of a little hard to kind of project as a family movie. It's not that Trainspotting ever was.
Yeah.
So they did a very smart thing. They actually went back to the original book, and they started pulling out scenes from there. And there's always a problem with sequels in that they have to be kind of self-referential back to the first one. You have to understand why you're following these characters. And Danny Boyle and John Hodge, the screenwriter, did a brilliant thing. They made an art out of the self-reference. There are so many references back to the original movie that are done beautifully well. They're very, very, very funny. And pointed at times. You get the music, you get the laughs, you also get the terror because Begbie will have his vengeance, or is looking to have his vengeance. And he is even more terrifying than he was the first time around. I really loved the first movie. I really loved the sequel. You don't have to see the first one to see the second one. It really helps, though. And I'd watch Trainspotting, if you haven't seen it, let it kind of marinate in your mind for a while and then see Trainspotting 2. Or if you've already seen it, if you saw Trainspotting years ago, just go along and see how these guys have aged, how they have matured, or perhaps not matured. And also, I mean, Danny Boyle, as a director, has matured too. He has done so many great movies in the years since. Mm-hmm. And he brings his A game to this film. Now, what are you going to say about it?
You have convinced me.
I've convinced you. Okay.
Yeah. When I was looking back to see what else came out during Trainspotting that still resonates with me, like what else was playing in 1996? It was a pretty good year for indie movies. It was, Fargo came out, and that was the big, movie here everywhere, but also Big Night and Lone Star and... I wonder how Sling Blade is these years. That was the year of Sling Blade and the year of Swingers, which isn't as bad as I thought it would be. I went back to watch Swingers a couple years ago, and it was pretty good. But the movie that that really resonated with me then, and I watched it recently, and it's still really good, is Nicole Holofcener's Walking and Talking. Mm-hmm. And like Trainspotting... It does have things in common with Trainspotting. It is about
friendship. You can't understand what people are saying?
No. It is about friendship, and it is about one person kind of moving ahead. Anne Heche is getting married to the actor Todd Field. Their characters are getting married. They're moving on. They're thinking about real estate. They're thinking about planning a family. Meanwhile, Catherine Keener, playing her best friend, Anne Heche's best friend, is... in career doldrums. She's not a nice person. That's one of the things I love about this movie, is that it's not just about female friendship and young people in one of those cookie-cutter ways where there's nothing unique about the characters. This feels like these people are all full characters. Mm-hmm. And Catherine Keener has a messed up, goofy relationship with her ex-boyfriend, Liev Schreiber, played by Liev Schreiber, and then she meets a guy named Kevin Corrigan. She kind of likes him, but is kind of embarrassed to like him because he's not up to snuff enough, and she refers to him as ugly guy. She's just a nasty piece of work, and it's about watching this woman grow up a tiny bit. Just a tiny bit.
Some days that's all you can ask for.
And unfortunately, Walking and Talking was not the huge hit that Trainspotting was, so no one is asking for a sequel to this. But I would love to see a sequel to this and see what they're doing now. I bet that Anne Heche's marriage is over. I bet Catherine Keane, they've got kids. I'd love to see how those characters have matured or not matured. Because as we get older, I think that Trainspotting, T2, Walking and Talking, and as you know, we just get older, you realize that we just still feel like we're in our 20s, and we still feel clueless. I was talking to a friend of mine who's 10 years older than me, and he had visited his mom, and she's in her late 80s. And I said, well, what are you doing this weekend? He said, well, my mom saw me. She said, my shoes are terrible, so she gave me money to go buy some shoes and some new clothes. You know, we're always... You know, we're eternally children.
We are.
I would love to see what how the Walking and Talking crew matured or did not mature over the past 21 years. And the whole, I mean, you could still get Kevin Corrigan is still acting. Anne Heche is still incredibly out there, and she's still really great. She was in that really fun movie last year called Cat Fight. And Catherine Keener, of course, was in one of the best movies of the year so far, Get Out. So everyone is still out there acting. Nicole Howell Center, please write me a sequel to Walking and Talking. WT2, Walking and Talking 2.
And everyone is aging wonderfully.